If you were not aware, today is Peace Sunday or Peace Week for most of the peace churches in North America and around the world. And we, as the men, a part of the Mennonite Brethren denomination, we are part of the peace churches who are known, churches and denominations which are known as peace churches. And of course, we're acknowledging that today because this coming Saturday is going to be Remembrance Day, where we seek to again remember our fallen heroes in times of war. If I were to ask you this morning how you would rate your level of peace right now, how would you rate yourself? You're 10. Wow. All right. Effie is feeling, she's peaceful. That's awesome. Okay. That's a high 10. 1 being low, high 10 being high. Where would you rate yourself? 5. We got a 5. Wow. We got some honest people here. Okay. All right. Yeah. Awesome. Well, yeah, we all have at different stages of life, as well as in what's been going on in our world. You know, we can be anywhere in between a 1 and 10. According to the Global Peace Index, if you didn't know that such a thing existed, there's actually such a thing called the Global Peace Index. And Canada is currently ranked 11th in the world in terms of its level of peacefulness. And these are ranked according to 3 different criteria: ongoing domestic and international conflict, societal safety and security, and then militarization. Canada is a relatively peaceful country compared to most. I think we all can agree. When the survey went out, there was a question, and it was, would you consider world peace to be desirable and or attainable as a geopolitical goal in the present? What do you think the response was? 61.4%. Oh man, I love you guys. There you go. 61.4% replied it is desirable, but in practice unattainable. So most of the world desires to have or believes that peace is desirable. So what were the possible solutions then if we believe that world peace is attainable or desirable, desirable but not attainable? Well, some of the solutions will make everyone too impoverished to fight. So if everybody is poor, nobody's gonna be able to buy weapons and we can't shoot one another. There you go. Another solution was, let's have just one single world government. That's it. None of these multiple different nations. Everybody, we just have one world order. And there you go. No more conflict. That's it. This is my favorite one. We fight a common extraterrestrial enemy. So we need aliens to invade so that, you know, the humanity will gather together, and because of that existential threat, we will be able to have achieved peace. Now, without overstating the obvious, personally, Canadians have also been struggling with personal wellness beyond this global impact, which includes our sense of peacefulness, especially since the pandemic. And if anything, the pandemic has exacerbated this reality. According to the Mental Health Research Canada, 39% of respondents feel economic issues are impacting their mental health. Suicide ideation among Canadians is alarmingly high, with 41% reporting having thought about suicide in the last year. Housing and food insecurity remains high, with 23% of Canadians concerned about their ability to make rent or mortgage payments, and 37% struggle to feed themselves or their families. These surveys and these studies don't present a hopeful picture of peace in our times. And yet, it is the most desired attribute according to the World Happiness Report. You see, our level of happiness is equated to the level of peace we feel in ourselves and the world around us. And so then peace becomes what we make of it. However, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And we read that in John 14, verse 27. I think the Bible and what Jesus is saying to us today is that the peace we seek is not one of our own making, but rather it is found in our belief in the sovereignty of Jesus. As Jesus' followers, we believe that God in Christ reconciles people to himself and to one another, making peace through the cross. And Jesus made it possible for humanity to be at peace with God and with each other. And hence our focus of our verse today is be at peace with one another, which is found in Mark 9, verse 50. And it reads like this: "Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." So, reading that verse, you're kind of probably going, what is God talking about a condiment? What is this about being salt? And what has salt got anything to do with being at peace with one another? Well, as usual, we try not to extrapolate our understanding of Scripture by one verse alone, but we seek to understand it within its context from which the verses precede it and are after it. Where we find this passage is actually quite strange. It's actually right in the end of where Jesus is warning his disciples then and now about the consequence of sin, our thoughts and our actions that disobey and honor God in our lives. The whole passage reads like this from verse 43 to 47. "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands that go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown in hell." These strong words warn disciples about the danger about allowing themselves to be tempted by sinful thoughts or actions. If the activity of our hand, our foot, or our eye causes us to sin, then cut it out. Or, really, cut it out. Jesus meant a disciple should take prompt, decisive action against whatever would draw him or her away from their faithfulness to him. Moreover, it is better to be a disciple and to enter life maimed than to be an unbeliever with all of one limbs intact. An unbeliever retains their allegiance to the world and refuses eternal life with God on his terms, and thus is cast into hell. So in verse 50, a believer who has lost his or her saltiness is one who has chosen the values and the ideas of the world over God and is not able to add flavor or preserve goodness in their circumstances or relationship. They are no longer at peace with God or with one another. I think we can agree with this interpretation that sin really does separate us from God. And apart from God, peace is just a desire. It's something we wish for. It's something we hope for. But we don't think it's attainable because of our human sin nature. And yet, Jesus instructs his disciples to be at peace with one another, which Bible scholars have often attributed to verse 34. And it's the part where basically the disciples are having an argument among themselves The passage reads like this: "And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, 'What were you discussing on the way?' But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, 'If anybody would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all.'" So, after Jesus instructs them on the consequences of leading others astray, he tells them to stop it. To stop arguing and be at peace with one another. He is calling out their sinful pride and egos. Let's consider our verse today. As we talked about Jesus' warnings to his disciples about the consequences of sin in our lives, Jesus knows about what his disciples were arguing about. They were arguing about power and position. There was no peace among them because of their pride and their selfishness. So what can be some of the sins that can lead us to have this lack of peace in our lives? Well, definitely pride, lust, greed, jealousy, or covetousness. They can influence us to craft, like our hand. We use our hands to craft things. They can lead us to move, which is our feet, and perhaps even envision with the eye ways to get what we want that we think will make us happy to appease what is really the antithesis of peace, which is restlessness and discontent in our souls. To illustrate this, we have a story in the Bible that tells us about King David himself. And this is he's a wonderful illustration when he was, especially with his relationship with Bathsheba. Here he was lounging in his home, in his castle, while his men were out fighting at war. He looks across, he sees this beautiful woman, lust takes over him. He decides that he wants her, so he calls for her. Do you know the story goes? They have their night of passion. She ends up being pregnant. He then starts to have to come up with a way to be able to cover what his actions were. In the course of that, Bathsheba's husband is murdered. And then in order to cover that up, he has to try and basically hide it, but he's called out by the prophet. And essentially, could you say that David was at peace that day? I don't think so. He had basically caused his own restlessness, essentially, his own issues. And this brings us to James 4, verse 1 to 3. "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God, and when you ask, you do not you receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures." Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Peace is not something we can achieve without working at it. Being a peacemaker, to whom we are called as Christ's followers, is an active role rather than a passive one. So again, I ask you to consider this image of the hand and the foot and the eye as it relates to peacemaking. Hands can either be used to serve, or they can be weapons of destruction by the words we type on our keyboards, and not just by holding a gun. Our feet move us towards the homeless, the outcast, the unlovable, or even to cross continents to make peace with others. Or they could become sounds of terror for the abused child who hears footsteps coming up the stairs. Our eyes you could be open to see the hurt and the despair and pain in our world, and how we can bring peace to these situations, or they can be used to ogle at an image on the screen, exploited for our own entertainment. So what does being at peace with one another mean for us today? Being at peace with one another means using our hands to bring a cup of cold water to the thirsty, Matthew 10, verse 42. It means bringing the gospel of peace and reconciliation, Romans 10, verse 15. And lastly, being a witness of Jesus, John 14, verse 9. Peace is fleeting right now. Peace is something we desire, but we cannot find. But it is time, I believe, for the Church of God to be the representatives, the witness of peace. And we can do that because we allow Jesus, we invite Jesus, the Prince of Peace, into our hearts. As Colossians 3 verse 15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Amen.